here very shortly, and also talk a little bit about your pets and the winter weather. Did you, by the way, I have to ask you, did you hear that you were on one of our promos?
No, I haven't heard that.
Scott, when you get a chance, can you find the doctor's promo that we did with her?
Anything for you, Mr. Harris.
Thank you, sir.
Does it portray me in a positive fashion?
Very positive.
It makes us sound like idiots. Perfect. Just the way we like it.
Yeah. So, welcome back. How you been? It's cold enough for you?
Oh, yeah. I was just telling you, I think it should get to about 20 below. Can we make that happen?
You want to go for the record, huh?
Yeah.
As long as you get that cold, go for the record. So, I have to ask you before we get into anything here. We did not get a chance to chat last month because of scheduling conflicts. But I understand that you lost your older dog.
Right. His name was Schroeder.
Schroeder.
And Schroeder, I had him since probably about a year after I got out of vet school. So I had him for almost 16 years. And he was very, very special to me for that very reason. I learned a lot from that little dog. He was a black and tan miniature dachshund. He weighed less than 10 pounds. Mm. And he had two back surgeries, two bladder surgeries. I mean, if anything could go wrong with him, it would. So I learned a lot from him.
Well, I know you did one surgery on him. Did when he had all those others, performed that too?
That was another episode of learning on my part. I ran over him. and I can laugh about it now because he came through it relatively unscathed. He just had a laceration on one of his hind legs and I sedated him to sew it up. And I actually got out the dental x-ray machine and found out he had a bunch of abscessed teeth. So that was the first time I had learned that dogs, when they have abscessed teeth, they don't show you. It's not like they won't eat. You can't tell that they're not, you know, perfectly comfortable. They don't have any symptoms of it. Hmm. So I pulled a bunch of his teeth and the dog woke up better after being hit by a car. He woke up feeling better than before he went under anesthesia. So, and then another time I had, actually when I was supposed to be on air, I had woken up in the morning and his side of his face was very swollen. And it was, I mean, one side of his face was necrotic from just more rotten teeth. Mm-hmm. So, and I brush teeth every day. So it's just a sign of, to me, it was a lesson to be learned that dental cleanings are important and dental cleanings under anesthesia are important. And even though a pet's teeth can look perfectly healthy from the outside, 2/3 of the tooth are under the gum line. And you don't know until you start probing around when they're under anesthesia and you get out a dental x-ray unit.
You always get that dark rim, though, around, don't you, around the mm-hmm. tooth right by the gums?
That's tartar starting to form.
Ugh.
And you want to get that cleaned up because it can lead to periodontal disease.
Well, the main reason I asked you about that, I talked about it, because mm-hmm. I know it's almost not normal anymore to just have one pet. Everybody's going to have multiple pets.
Right.
And I just was kind of curious, what was the effect on your other three dogs when Schroeder left the family?
So I think they knew Schroeder's been sick for a long time. Schroeder hasn't been able to get around very well. And I didn't realize how much he was affecting their lives before he died. My dogs were with me. The three other dogs that I have were with me when I euthanized Schroeder. And they were very interested, and some dogs aren't. I've been around other euthanasias where there's other dogs in the household around and they don't want anything to do with the body. But my dogs wanted to sniff him and nuzzle him, and they probably came around twice and kind of nosed him. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that was it. They walked away and they were fine. And then after his body was gone from the house, it took probably a few days. And I noticed, gosh, you know, I accidentally dumped Doobie's food into Schroeder's food bowl. And Doobie wouldn't eat it out of Schroeder's food bowl. And, you know, now if I do it, it's been about, about a month now. The dogs will go into, they'll lay on his pet bed. They'll eat out of his food bowl now. I mean, I think there's a grieving process that occurs. And it just takes time. You don't realize that the other animals, the other pets in the house, they had a relationship with the deceased pet. And it takes a while for them to overcome the death.
Do you, in this case, and then we'll get to cold weather stuff, but in you, in this case, or any case for anybody else, would you consider replacing the pet?
That depends on the person. And normally, if he was my only pet, or if I just had two pets and I was down to one, I probably would right away get another one. And that's just me, because I don't know if I'm emotionally needy that way. I need to have a pet to give love to. Mm-hmm. And so I probably would, but I know a lot of people that they can't. They just need time to grieve and heal and then move on to getting another pet.
Okay. Well, so we're sorry for his loss.
Thank you.
Because I know you have a huge affection for all four of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for sharing that with us
we'll
here
miss
on KFGO.
Yep.
6:18 is our time here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Before we take a break, I want to ask you one question that was brought to me concerning cold weather. And then we'll take a break and then we'll get back to a lot of the stuff that you brought in. The colder weather comes in. And I heard this from not one but two different people, that when the pet goes out to do their thing, they like limp.
They're gimpy.
And they one said, I can't believe it. He did his job on two paws, you know, one front and one back.
Right.
And is that what's going on?
Their toes are getting cold. And a lot of times it's between their toes. They can get snow or ice accumulated between their toes. And I mean, if you go down there and you put your fingertips on the cold ground, boy, you're going to freeze up pretty fast. And it's no different for these dogs walking out there. They get cold. And I've noticed that one of my dogs in particular is much more susceptible. And I don't know if she's just more sensitive to the cold than the others or what, but she'll want me to come out and get her. And I'm like,
oh, really?
Yeah. She's got to make it to the steps. I'll bring her up from the steps, but she's got to make it there. I don't want her to train me to be carrying her around outside when it's this cold. So they make it quick. They learn to make the trips outside quick. They have to go out, and that's just the way the house rules are. And if they make it quick, they can get right back in.
Well, see, we had a dog that just did not make it quick. I mean, he would sniff and sniff and sniff until all of a sudden he's on one paw hopping around, and he still hasn't done his thing yet. So, all right. More winter tips for your pets. Phone lines are going to be open too, 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. Call early. Don't wait till the last second like a lot of you do out there. And I mean that in the fondest way of saying that, but give us a call and we'll get your calls in to the vet. Dr. Doreen Winning is here with us tonight on the Mighty 790 KFGO.
Make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
Okay, the reference is that this is Led Zeppelin singing Black Dog. Way to go, Scotty. This is the Mighty 790.
Tired of who let the dogs out.
Thank you.
I think the whole world has gotten to that point. 6:24 is our time. Don't forget football coming up. Texas and send the Jaguars here on KFGO. Dr. Doreen Winning is joining us, and we are talking The Vet is In. That's the name of the show. We're talking about cold weather and the pets. Well, we talked a little bit about the pads of the feet and how they get so cold, but we got a couple of other things. How long should a dog stay out?
That varies with the dog, individual, and the breed. So my dogs, if I had a short-haired dog anymore, I probably wouldn't take them out very long at all. Mm-hmm. You think of a husky, now they can be out longer. And I really don't think, you know, growing up on a farm, dogs were meant to be outside. They were farm dogs. They lived outside. However, when it gets this cold out, I don't think any dog should be left outside without shelter. And so that can mean putting them in the garage. It can mean putting them in the basement. But just make sure that, you know, when it gets this cold, that we don't have pets stuck outside.
Is this technically, by the way, is this technically like a frostbite on the feet then when that happens?
It's not frostbite. It doesn't have a chance to usually get that far, just because the dogs do get gimpy like that and somebody either rescues them or they go in. Mm-hmm. If they became lost, yes, we do see frostbite. And so obviously you want to keep track of your pet. And going on walks, this time of year, my dogs don't tend to go for a lot of walks that are very long. I do want to get them out. I do want them to be able to exercise their brain a little bit with different sights and smells. So I will take them out for walks, but I actually have booties that I put on them, and my dogs are really good at wearing them, and I have trained them to wear them the heavier boots. You can buy boots for dogs, but I made these. And all it is ripstop, nylon ripstop. It doesn't have to be anything very heavy. It can be very lightweight. In fact, I feel like my dogs prefer lightweight as opposed to those heavy boots because they're picking up their feet and trying to get them off if they get too heavy. Mm-hmm. So I just used nylon ripstop, sewed it into a square, put some Velcro around it, and off we go.
Not only a vet, but a seamstress.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That was, by the way, going to be my next question because I know there was one person a long time ago I knew that had those. And we tried it once a while back, and oh man, you couldn't keep them on the feet. They just didn't did not like them on the feet at all.
Yeah, and that's one thing. When I do go out, you have to realize that sometimes when you're putting these things on, I actually made some that have elastic attached to the Velcro around them because I worry about cutting off their circulation because they do have to be on snug. Mm-hmm. You don't want them on so tight, though, that they're going to cut off circulation because that'd be obviously very uncomfortable, and what dog would want to keep them on at that point? So boots are always a good thing, and you can train. I train my dogs. You know, dogs are trainable. You can train dogs to wear boots. And some of them just like going for walks so much that if you put something lightweight on their feet, they start realizing, geez, you know, my feet don't freeze up when I have my boots on. So,
We talked about the feet. We might as well go for the rest of the body.
Right.
Because you see some people with sweaters, which I think sometimes look a little goofy.
Yeah.
But you see other things wrapped up. Is that a good idea?
Is that
too much body warmth?
No, I think for certain dogs, it's great. You have these short-haired dogs. They need something a little bit extra. You have to remember, though, that if you get something cotton and it gets soaked under their belly, that's just wicking water towards their skin and continues to make them cold. So be careful what you choose. And I will, with Dahlia, sometimes when we're going out for long walks, I'll put a cotton t-shirt on her, and then I have a nylon coat that goes over that. So I'm very aware of when she gets wet because she's a dachshund. She's close to the ground. I don't want her skin getting wet.
Those buggers are real close to the ground, aren't they?
They are.
Well, before we go on our next tip, we do have a call.
Okay.
And 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346 are the phone numbers here, or cell phone #KFGO. That's #5346. And Eric joins us right now here on KFGO. Good evening, Eric. You're with the vet, Dr. Doreen Winning.
Good evening. Thank you for taking the call. Doc, do you know if there's, I've had a toy for my dog that he really loves. It's called a chuck it, kick it, you know, ball.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't had any problems with it, but as of late, when he's gone out and played with it, it seems to have gotten really slimy. And then when he comes in, he starts acting kind of goofy, you know, or, lethargic, if you will, and his mouth just starts really drooling, and he just keeps licking his, and I don't know if the ball is breaking down. I know it's a foam ball.
Yeah, you need to get a new ball. So anytime dogs have a bad taste in their mouth, they're going to hypersalivate or salivate more. And so your ball is going to get all goopy and gooey, and that bad taste in their mouth is just going to make them drool more. So I would definitely start by getting a new ball for it.
But it's nothing toxic, as we know?
It shouldn't be, but I just wouldn't keep it around. It shouldn't be toxic if it's made for pets, but you just want to be careful.
All right, and then one other suggestion for the, he's everything to me because he's my guide dog.
Right.
And he's been a wonderful blessing in my life. And he loves the snow. He's a black lab. But using musher's wax is what I use because of all the salt people put on.
Yes.
And that's just done wonders. I coat him up. He lays on his back and sticks his paws up, and I coat him good with musher's wax, and that seems to work to protect against the salt and gives a good barrier against the cold.
Very good point. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate your call tonight. We're going to go to news a little late here because we do have another call here before we check in with Scott Sorum. He'll have a little bit of a news update for us. Otto is up with the doctor. The vet is in. Dr. Doreen Winning. Go ahead, Otto.
Hey, Doc. Just a little light levity. I had a miniature schnauzer for years, and they are a nice, hardy dog. And I tell you, winter, you know, we kept his coat a little longer and whatever, but short of being this cold or a blizzard or a driving rain, we'd walk every night.
That's awesome.
And for a mile, 2 miles.
And I think that you can get them to want to do that. I mean, I noticed today when I've been out shoveling that once I'm out there and get acclimated to the cold, it's not so bad. And I think our pets are that way too. You just have to get acclimated to the cold weather. And, you know, if your dog is trained to deal with that, that's wonderful, because exercise, like I said, is so very important, not just for the body, but for the mind too.
Yeah, they're a nice, sturdy dog too. You know, they're small, but boy, they're not weak. You know, they're not frail in any sense of the word.
Those German dogs are wonderful.
All right, Otto, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Shoveling, I got to talk to you more about that in a minute. 6:31 is our time, and 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. More with the vet, Dr. Doreen Wenning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. We'll be back in a moment here on KFGO. First part of the journey. Any other pet suggestions for music? You give us a call here at KFGO. Just kidding. 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. The vet is in, Dr. Doreen Wenning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. And we are going to have more cold weather tips in just a few moments. But Sandy has been waiting very patiently on the line, Dr. Doreen Wenning, and she's on the phone with us right now. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Hey, I'm just curious. My dog eats a lot of snow, a lot. And I don't know if he's doing it because he enjoys it or if he's lacking something in his diet.
Well, first of all, is he drinking more water inside?
He doesn't tend to drink more, but he's got water. So it's not like water isn't available and he, you know.
How old is your dog?
5 years.
First, it might just be the fact that he likes the texture of the snow better, which is fine. That's fine. He's going to be able to tell what he can handle and what he can't. But the medical thing that I get a little bit concerned about is he doing this not because he likes the snow, but because he's thirsty? And so that's when you'd want to watch their water consumption inside and make sure he's not over consuming, because there are different diseases that can cause increased thirst, such as diabetes, kidney disease, that kind of thing. So if it's just us, you know, if you don't notice him drinking more water inside and it's just kind of a texture thing that he likes the snow, that's fine. Just make sure it's clean snow.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Sandy.
You mean not that yellow stuff?
Not the yellow stuff, and certainly nothing with antifreeze.
Yeah, you stay away from that.
Good.
Okay. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you very much for calling. 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. So, I can imagine it's kind of like maybe ice cream.
Yeah, there you go. Ice cream for dogs.
Ice cream for dogs.
One thing that I was just thinking about today, this is a complete topic change, but does anybody have nicknames for their dogs?
Nicknames?
Yeah. Scott, do you have a nickname for your dog?
There are things I have called her that I can't repeat on the radio, but it's not really a nickname.
No, I don't think I've ever had a nickname. No.
So I was just, my dogs, I have these, and they have their names, but, you know, Dahlia, I call her Dilly Dally. Or because she's always dilly dallying outside, and then it goes from dilly dally to dilly bar, dill weed, you know.
Oh, I can't say I have.
And Duber dog. Duber dog.
I don't think that's ever happened. I don't in my lifetime.
So
anyway.
I'm just weird.
But you know a lot about animals, and that's why you're here, and I appreciate that.
All right.
Back to cold weather stuff. How about walking on ice?
So, obviously, when this time of year, we live on rivers, and some of us live on lakes, you want to be very, very careful about your pet going out on the ice, because there can be spots of ice that are not as thick as others and falling through ice, especially if there's running water underneath. You just have to be careful. And so I try to keep them off the ice if you can. Mm-hmm. We just don't want them falling through.
Okay.
And not only that, but ice, you know, even if it's on the street too, ice can cut their paws, cut their pads of their feet. So you have to be careful with that.
It can get, they can get almost like glass, can it?
It can.
It's a shards.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, of course, everybody's got to watch the animal's weight over the winter. Like many humans,
right.
They may gain a pound or two, right?
Right. And this time of year, if I see an animal come in overweight, I'm very concerned because I know it's probably going to get worse before spring. And so what we have to do and what I do with my dogs is I cut back their food consumption this time of year. So I don't want them to get overweight because, as we all know, it's so easy to put weight on, but so very, very hard to take it off. So, and I know most of us aren't walking like we should be walking when we go for walks, long walks in the summer. We're not getting that in the winter. So remember, cut back on your food. Most dogs, I believe, should be on light or less active food anyway, year round. But if your dog isn't on a light formula food, you might want to consider switching to that over the winter.
Very good. Very good. Dr. Doreen Winning, 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346 if you have a question. And let's talk a little bit about traveling now. The weather is absolutely cold out there. We're below zero, obviously. But, you know, we're heading to Grandma's house for Christmas and other activities here in the near future. Let's talk a little bit about traveling with your pet.
So, first of all, when the holidays come up, we get a lot of questions about should I be bringing my dog with to grandma's house or to whomever's. And first of all, make sure your pet's comfortable with travel. If you don't know if your dog or cat can handle a road trip, probably not a good time to find out. So, you know, that's something maybe you want to investigate different parts of the year, different times of the year, going for short trips in the car. Now is not the time to take a two-hour road trip with an animal that can't handle it. So just make sure you know what's going on with your pet. Make sure that you have identification with your pet, and that usually or most efficiently means a microchip, because the microchip is always with them. And if they do get lost, most, if not all, pounds now are scanning for microchips, and your pet will have a much higher chance of being reunited with you if it does get loosed at a rest area or, God forbid, somewhere else. So just make sure you have a microchip, and make sure you call your microchip company and update your address if you have moved or your phone number has changed.
By the way, it's interesting you say that, because we do get a tendency to get a couple of extra phone calls on lost pets here at KFGO for our pet patrol during the winter months, because you know, somebody's in from out of town. Well, I live in Colorado and I just lost my dog. Can you help me out? You know, and that's one of the big deals about that. When you say the microchip, that helps up quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's devastating for people to be away from home, because obviously your pet has no clue about where it should be going. So make sure you take care of that microchip thing. Okay. That's important.
Any other good tips for you?
Other thing that I would suggest is that you make sure that the person or place you are staying is aware that you have a pet. And so if that means calling grandma or calling aunt and uncle, that they know and are okay with your pet staying with them. Make sure your hotel is a pet-friendly hotel. And if you're staying at a campground, if you're going down south, make sure that they're pet-friendly as well. Always clean up after your pet if you're going camping down south.
All right, very good. We're coming up on 13 before the hour. Let's take another break here at KFGO. And we'll be back with our remaining moments with Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital here on the Mighty 790 KFGO.
And Scott Sorum on the Mighty 790 KFGO and KFGO.com.
He's been a good dog, my best friend, right through it all. If I die before I wake, VJ.
Very good. I remember this one. Very good.
Very
good caller.
Going out by request tonight.
Very good caller.
Spinning the tunes.
By the way, I had another caller. So we're talking about nicknames of dogs.
Yeah.
And he said that he had a dog named Charlie, and he nicknamed him Chuckster or King, because he was king of the house.
Well, thank you for letting me know. I'm not crazy after all. Or else there is somebody as crazy as me out there.
I believe this is it Kim or Ken? I'm sorry, Kim?
Kim.
Kim, what's you're on with Dr. Doreen Winning. Go ahead.
Well, it ties right into the king you were just talking about. But we got a King Charles, a therapy dog, and we had a Schultz before that died of congestive heart failure that was a therapy dog. But our King Charles at 6 months came down with seizures, and that hasn't been a problem with medication. But 8 months ago, thought he had hot spots, and treated with steroids. And then after a biopsy, down at the U of M, found out that it was Cushing's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to reverse all the treatment. And from being shaved down and a lot of sores and open wounds, and things are growing back. But I'm just wondering, what is the, you know, the outlook for a dog with Cushing's disease that's about 5 years old? And, you know, it's about $300 a month for meds, but
right.
that's not the point, you know. But
yeah.
what is the outlook? And I can't talk about that when my wife's at the vet with me. And I thought, well, she's not listening right now, but I can call the vet.
Well, I'll tell you what. I had a dog in vet school named Delilah. And I used to take her to school with me, and she used to be a demo dog. The students would practice vaccines and that kind of stuff on her. And one of the clinicians one day took a look at her, and he's like, that dog is Cushingoid. And so I've had a dog that lived a long, full life being a Cushingoid dog. And I wouldn't let that affect any of your decision-making with her at all. She could live a very, very full life.
If we're looking at just lately a ton of drinking of water, and I'm guessing yeah. that's medication.
Well, with Cushing's disease, you're gonna want to tailor your treatment to decreasing some of those signs. So some dogs don't have signs, and we don't treat them, you know, with medications, but obviously yours has significant signs of Cushing's disease. You want your dog to not be exhibiting all those signs and symptoms. So you might need to modify your treatment protocol to avoid the symptoms. Okay. If that makes sense, you might need to increase your dose. You might need to change meds. You know, I don't know what medication you have your dog on right now, but there's a couple different ones. And the newer one is called Trilastain.
Okay.
And
yeah, I can visit with our vet as well.
Yeah, so. I would definitely visit with your vet and let them know that you still are exhibiting some problems. So
very good.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, Kim. Appreciate it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And good luck to you. Wade is up next here on KFGO. Hi, Wade. You're on with Dr. Doreen Winning here on KFGO.
Why?
Hello.
I got a pug got really bad breath. You talk about brushing his teeth,
mm-hmm.
and he gets really fights with me to try to do that. Is there anything else I can do?
Right. Some animals we just can't. But for trying to train your dog to brush teeth, try to make it a positive thing. When I started with my older dogs, training them to allow teeth brushing, it was actually just letting them chew on a toothbrush with toothpaste on it. You know, dog toothpaste. It was, you know, vanilla mint toothpaste. And they liked the flavor, so they chew on it. And that was step number one. And then we gradually work into a brushing regimen. I can't even talk tonight. But so if you just absolutely cannot train your dog to allow tooth brushing, then I would go to water additives. And you need to be very consistent with your water additives. There are certain treats that you can use. Talk to your vet about different treats. I've used CET chews. There's, you know, different kinds of treats that can help avoid tartar buildup in the mouth. And then also regular dental cleanings are so important, especially if you're noticing bad breath. That can be a sign that there's some periodontal disease going on.
Okay.
Okay, right. thank you.
Thank you very much, Wade. Thank you for your call. 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. The vet is in. And boy, I tell you what, time has flown. We just have about 4 minutes to go here. Is there anything more you want to touch on as far as traveling with your pet?
If you're traveling with your pet, a reminder, going into Canada, you don't need a full health certificate if you're under 3 pets. And you just need a rabies vaccine certificate. If you have questions about where you're going, especially if you're doing airline travel, you're probably going to need a health certificate. But you can go to the website www.aphis.gov, and they will have import-export requirements for dogs and cats. And you can, you know, click on, it's pretty easy once you get there. So aphis.usda.gov.
And another good question I've just thought of here, so it has to be good. You know, you have, when cars get so hot during the summer months, Can it have the opposite effect during cold? Should you be able to leave your animals in a cold car if you're going in for a couple of hours?
Yeah, see, I wouldn't. I mean, if you have a dog that or a cat that's used to being indoors and leaving them outdoors, you know, for an hour or so in the car probably isn't a good idea. Mm-hmm. The other thing I want to touch on tonight is giving pets for Christmas.
Yes. And how do you wrap one?
Yeah. You put a nice bow on the neck and you shove it into the room with the person that that's receiving. But honestly, if you're giving a pet, make sure it's going to be well cared for. Make sure the person can handle caring for a pet, that they have resources to care for a pet. And also really research where you're getting your pet from. Rescues have, there's lots of dogs and cats this time of year that need homes. Seek out your local rescues. If you're going to get a specific breed, make sure you do your research. With my dogs, it took me a year of searching for the right breeder that fit me and actually had dogs that fit my lifestyle. So please make sure that you're doing your research before getting your pet.
Well, my sister has 4 left of her litter of 8. Of Pekingese Dachshund Cross. So if anybody's interested, give me a call.
Or there you go.
Email me here at KFGO.
They need homes too.
They were born October 10th. So they're ready to go.
Ready to go. RTG, ready to go.
So, but anyway, when you talk about Christmas presents, though, this is something that maybe people should be, you know, if your kid's asking for one, I mean, don't just drop a surprise on them. Oh, guess what? I got you a puppy. And then they go, I didn't ask for a puppy. Why do I want that?
Well, I think a lot of kids do want pets. I think it's a dream of a lot of kids to have pets, but you have to be aware that your kid needs to take care of the pet too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be kind of counsel them on the responsibilities. You know, it's not all fun, you know, throwing the ball and chasing and that kind of thing. It's picking up dog poop in the yard. It's cleaning out the cat box. It's feeding and watering. So there's a lot of things that go along with having a pet that are huge responsibilities. And kids need to be aware of that too before you get the pet.
Okay. And bearded dragons? Is that a good pet?
Bearded dragons are very good pets for the right people. So are goldfish, by the way.
All right. Dr. Doreen Winning, the vet, is in. Thank you so much for joining us again tonight. Your location and phone number again?
3210 Main Avenue, 232-3391.
And you're on Facebook, right?
We're on Facebook.
Okay. So check that out. Valley Veterinary Hospital. And we'll see you in about a month or so.
Thank you.
And I think you're coming up in a couple of weeks with Jack and Sandy the day.
Yep.
So
we'll see you then.
Fun. Have a good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Stick around. Folks, because coming up next, NFL football action. Texans and Jaguars as we go out with a little hound dog with Elvis Presley here on KFGO. Good night, everybody. KFGO Fargo.